Good morning. A warm welcome in Christ to all worshipers and seekers gathered here today. In case you are visiting, I'm Pastor Matthew Swara, one of two pastors along with Janet Gingrich here at Zion Mennonite Church. And for all people here, I express my welcome to you, to all of you here. You know, for some very special occasions in church, when an extra measure of respect is to be shown, I might wear a jacket and a tie like I'm doing this morning. This day bears that kind of significance. Three young men, Jared Oyer, Cameron Roth, and Harrison Gingrich, who have grown up in this congregation with the care and guidance and service of Janet Gingrich, our youth minister, have agreed to Christian baptism today after the service of worship. Their faith and the ministry that cultivated and encouraged their faith merit some show of respect, so I thought I'd at least start with a jacket and a tie. And respect as well for the ministry and the faith that brought them here and for the pilgrimage that continues from today. This morning I was rereading the opening chapters of John Bunyan's Christian classic, Pilgrim's Progress. And I was struck at how never does the main character, one Christian, say, "I think I'll go on pilgrimage to the celestial city today." Rather, it all starts as a fearful flight from the evil of the world and the burden of his sin. But over the course of the journey, it turns into a measured, mature, purposeful, and courageous walk, not pushed forward by fear, but drawn forward by holy desire and holy delight for everything that awaits the pilgrims at the end of the journey. And yet it's a journey with some struggle. And so also in respect and honor for all that is yet to come for these three young pilgrims, both sweet and difficult, and in respect for all of the pilgrims here today, for all that you will and that you have overcome and endured and experienced and enjoyed in this road that we share to the celestial city, and the least I can do is wear a jacket and a tie. After the service of baptism, after this service, when we go, if you wish, and you're invited over to the camp. What camp is it again? Canby Grove, thank you. On Knightsbridge Road, over at the Mullalo River. When we actually get into the river, I hope you will understand why I'm not wearing this jacket and tie at that particular moment. If you have any announcements to share about the ministry and the life of this church, please come forward at this time to bring them to us.
The long-awaited Bible school sign-up is now up again for this year. Bible school is July 23rd to 27th, and a theme is about the Bible and digging for treasures and learning about the Bible. We have lots of group leaders we need. We've got people that can do activities, drama, help with snacks, so please sign up.
What do you, as members of the Zion community, desire for the youth that grow up with us? A group of us are gathering information about what the congregation thinks about this or desires, and we're going to have scheduled meetings, evening meetings, those dates will come out in the bulletin. But also, if any of you want to meet one-on-one with any of us, that would be fine too. We're flexible and willing to do that. The members of this group are Pat Hirschberger, Stan Oyer, Steve Matsingila, and me. So just let us know. And also, there'll be more announcements coming out in the bulletin and email.
Just one instruction about going over to Canby Grove Christian Center today. When you pull in, to the right is a great big building called Riverfront Lodge. We're going to gather behind that building, so you can drive like you're going to go right up to the building, and you keep going to another parking lot beyond it, and then walk down to the river. So it's about 7 miles from here. There's blue balloons tied on Knightsbridge Road that you'll see where to go and turn. Thank you.
From the ministries of this church, we turn our eyes to the one who makes it all possible. Let us move into worship. And our call to worship comes from Jared Oyer's favorite verse, and it's a fitting passage for pilgrims starting out on a journey like the three being baptized today. It's also a good one for hikers, and I think, Jared, you're a hiker, right? Okay. Because it's one of the songs of ascent from the Book of Psalms. Those are prayers and songs which pilgrims on any of Israel's three main annual festivals would sing or pray on the way to Zion and to the temple, or while they were there, or when they were heading back home. So let's share together the first verses of this song of ascent, Psalm 121, in the same spirit as our Hebrew ancestors setting out for worship at Mount Zion. I begin. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And let's join those pilgrims and all the saints and angels of heaven and earth as we sing praise to God. Louise?
Please turn to number 46 in the hymnal for worship book. Number 46. And let's stand as we sing today. If you are able.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and filled the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule.
number 343. These are all songs that our baptismal candidates have chosen. 343.
Creation.
Before we proceed to the offering, I'd like to share a few thoughts and scriptures related to that part of our worship. Cameron Roth identified 1 Corinthians 13 as his banner favorite passage. And so from that whole chapter, I'll read just a few verses, 8 to 13, as they are fitting to this time in his life when he's embracing upon a journey of growth in Christ. These words, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, or perfection, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And also fitting to the act of giving our tithes and offerings now are these words near the beginning of 1 Corinthians 13. If I give all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I am nothing. I invite those who are receiving the offering to come forward, please, for this prayer of dedication. And join me in this prayer, please. Lord, in this sacrifice of some material wealth, we are only returning part of what you have given us out of love. You entrusted it to us so that we might thereby show love. Receive this offering as an expression of our love for you, that our love might grow with the giving and the doing. And use this offering of love for the sharing of your love to each other and to the world which you love. Amen. And the songs which the men's group are about to sing are also, I believe, requested by Harrison and others as an expression of their faith today.
Show us
Children, listen up. We've got two special things for you, the second being the story with Carol Miller. But on your way up, you have a task, and that is to collect for this bucket, My Coins Count, which will go towards Mennonite Central Committee and helping those in need. Likewise, adults, you know what your job is, don't you? To reach into those pockets and purses and get ready. So children, come forward first to collect for My Coins Count and then for the story.
There's a lot we can achieve all around the world. Witnessing to others that we live what we believe, we can make a difference in the world because my coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count. We can make a difference in the world because my coins count.
My coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count. We can make a difference in the world.
Dear Father, I thank you for these wonderful children that you have blessed our congregation with. As we listen and hear what it means about living water, may they begin to grasp that you are the living water, and for you, for real life, we need you. Amen. In Jan's sermon this morning, she's going to talk about living water. You think water's alive?
No.
Well, the Bible, there's a verse in there that says, and this is what Jesus said.
I have loved them.
Whoever believes in me,
I have
out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It's kind of hard to understand at your age, but you'll maybe get some ideas and you'll have questions as you grow. And those are good questions to ask mom and dad, grandma and grandma, Sunday school teachers. So you've been hearing about three young men today, if you've been listening, that are going to be baptized. And baptizing involves water. And what it means is it's a dipping into water, or sometimes it's sprinkling. And what that is it's a sign of washing away sin and choosing to be a part of Christ's church. Now I remember what
something my cousin was
baptized. Yeah. So you know you've maybe seen some people be baptized. Okay. I remember being told when I was young, because I didn't understand baptism. Baptism is an outward sign. It's a washing of what's happened inside of us. It's when we ask Jesus to forgive us. To forgive us our sin and make us new inside. So, you watch and listen.
talks about living water. It's fresh and it's running. Now there's another way that Jesus talks about, and the second way is this is also living water, because it's still moving, it's alive, and we need water to stay alive. Now there's a third way that Jesus talks about living water, but first I'm going to show you another one. Well, I'll bet you can guess where I got this.
What? You know, it rained.
Peanut butter jar. Yesterday it rained really hard, and there's a field out behind us, and I went for a walk, and I dipped water out of a mud puddle. Do you like to splash in mud puddles?
Yeah.
My grandchildren love to, but you know what happens when they splash? Usually they get dirty. Now I want to show you something else. Face? Can you see the little spots on it?
Yeah.
It's kind of pretty, isn't it?
Yeah. That stinks.
Well, the outside of us can be pretty. I didn't want to spill it.
But the inside of us can be dirty.
You are lying. You know that we need water to live, so which one would you like to drink?
That one.
Yeah, me too.
No.
So, the outside of us can look really nice, but what's inside us? Sometimes when we don't think nice things, or we say bad things, or we don't act nice, well... Can you talk to me about that after church? Oh, great. So, it's what matters is what's on the inside. So when we ask Jesus to forgive us and ask him to come into us, it's like he washes all that icky away from us. And it's good and it's clean. So this is the way Jesus talks about living water. He says, living water is the Holy Spirit. When we believe in Jesus and we ask him to forgive us, he fills us with his Holy Spirit. It's like the water, because it's running free.
It's not dripping. Hey, look it. It's clean. Yeah, dirty.
Do you know that's what Jesus does to us when we ask him to be in us? We become clean. Yeah.
How
it's
is
amazing.
That?
It's kind of a mystery, and it's hard to understand when we're young. But as we get older, God will show us new things to show us who he is.
Can that stop?
So we can go back to our places now. You remember to ask your mom and dad to give you good water to drink to stay healthy. And we ask God to give us his Spirit to make us clean inside. You can go back to your places now. They want to play in the water.
Those children are not going to forget that lesson any time soon. Thank you, Carol. For our sharing, I'd like to begin our sharing and prayer time by asking, first of all, if you have any guests or visitors with you here whom you'd like to introduce. I'm meeting folks right and left, it seems, today. So if there's anyone you'd like to introduce, please let us know. Okay. I'd like to, yeah, some of us got a pleasure of meeting. Well, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hello, praise the Lord. Yeah, my name is Donald Nyakiema. I'm from Tanzania. I'm with the HIVEP program, which HIVEP is one of the programs of MCC. I have been here since last year in August, and I was serving in Quakertown Christian School, which is found in Quakertown. So I came here for the camp, so I'll be serving in Drift Creek Camp for 1 month. So I'm very happy to be here, and God bless you so much. Thank you.
And may God bless your month of service there at Drift Creek Camp. And we have some others here too. Yes, Brandon.
So visiting from Harrisonburg, Virginia, we have Silas Driver, Abby Byler, and Sylvia Mass, and they are also going to be counselors out at Drift Creek for the next couple of weeks, so we're excited to have them.
And let's keep these folks and the ministries of Drift Creek Camp in our prayers. For many of us, that has been such a formative place in our own spiritual pilgrimages. Anyone else? Well, I'd like to also begin the testifying time by saying thank you for your prayers for Becky and myself and our family. Our daughter Emily and her new husband Nick last week got to I Do, and they did, and they should be coming back from their honeymoon. I think that's today? Today, yes, as well. So we're very much glowing in the celebration of that wonderful young man in as part of our family, too. What other joys or testimonies, cares or concerns would you like to bring to our attention for prayer today? Please raise your hand if you have any. Yes, okay, Chuy.
I have a prayer request for a friend who's going through a transition here within the next 2 weeks. He's going to go to prison, and he's recently accepted Christ as a Savior and repented, and he's just going to enter a whole new world. And I just pray that we can continue to lift him up as he gets lifted up through that season of life. And he also has a one-year-old daughter.
You want to share? George, okay. Any others? Yes, here you go. Serenity.
Well, a week ago, I had a whole bunch of ladies at my house that I had this idea of gathering ladies from moms from school and neighborhood women and people from around the area and challenge them with a get to know your neighbor challenge for the summer. And it was, I imagine it being a way to create safe communities as well as working out the gospel without even knowing it. And we had really deep and meaningful conversation, inspiring one another, and it was like women of all different faiths. And so we have another meeting in October with the challenge to write down some stories and just getting to know the people that are right next door. So it was super cool. If you want to ask me more questions, I'm happy to share. So.
Thank you. It sounds like it was very inspiring for you, and it is for us as well, and maybe you want to think about maybe writing up a little something for the newsletter coming out, too. That, yeah, we'd love to hear more about that. Thank you. Anyone else? Well, I'd like to draw your attention, too, to a picture that's on the inside of your bulletin, just below the order of worship, a picture of Jesus coming up out of the waters of baptism. And the words, this is my beloved son. And I'd like you to think and pray, I don't know, I'm, yeah, I'd, consider thinking and praying about how those words apply to each one of us as God's children, beloved children as well. Please join me in prayer then, and we will pray the Lord's Prayer together when we come to the close of it. Let's pray. Lord, when the Spirit in the form of a dove descended upon you in the waters of baptism, the world heard the blessing of the Heavenly Father. This is my beloved Son. By your act, Lord, of our creation and calling, by your Spirit of renewal and recreation, by the waters of baptism, by your word of challenge and comfort, you declare us and you make us also your beloved children. For such gracious love, Lord, we thank you and praise you now and through eternity. May each of us know in the depths of our hearts the assurance of your love for us, the same love of the Heavenly Father to the beloved Son through the Holy Spirit. Such love you have shown to us in the joys, the beauties, and blessings we have known of late, such as the graduations of students and youth in this season. Such love you have shown and we have known as well in weddings like that of Emily and that to come of Taylor Berkey and others, dear Lord, the wonderful experience that Serenity and her neighbors and friends had, and others that come to mind for us as well. May those who commend themselves to you and to this church by baptism, that they also know the assurance and the infilling of such love. And may all who cannot be with us today because of sickness, frailty, or service to you and to your church know the assurance of such love through the same Spirit, the Spirit who draws us here and motivates our worship. And may the children, the adults, and the staff at Drift Creek Camp this week and this summer, including Kayla as well, know and grow and serve by way of such belovedness. May our sisters and brothers who worship, witness, minister, and simply seek to live in love in places of such conflict in Israel, Palestine, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and elsewhere, may they know and show your love to enemies as well as friends, and bring such assurance and the power of love upon all whose names and needs we know, standing today in the need of prayer, especially George and his one-year-old daughter as he enters prison. But Lord, no walls can keep you out. For we are one body, worldwide, laughing with those who laugh and weeping with those who weep, and praying by the same Spirit, the same words of our same Lord, who taught us ever to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. I want to jump right into the scripture text this morning, so please get out your Bible or your devices, your iPad, and follow along. We're going to also show the passage on the screen, but I want to get into the text first and start there. Matthew 3, 12 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. When John the Baptist came on the scene, people were pretty excited because he was different. He dressed unusual. He ate strange things. Can anybody tell me what kind of clothing John the Baptist wore? Camel's hair, a leather belt. What did he eat? Locusts, like a little bug. He was eating locusts and he was hanging out in the desert. He stood out of the crowd, but he had a commanding voice like the prophets before him, saying that the people must turn from their sin and turn to God to experience his mercy and forgiveness. And right along with this passage, when Jesus comes on the scene, there had not been a prophet in Israel for more than 400 years. People had been waiting and looking and praying and hoping for a Messiah. And it was widely thought that the Messiah had come. In Malachi 3, verses 1, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to this temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come. I want to talk a little bit about what we know about Jesus up to this point, because Jesus is just starting his ministry after this acknowledgement of, this is my beloved son. Jesus was born to humble parents, a birth that was unannounced, but only announced to lowly shepherds and foreigners. The Savior of the world worked in a small town, a carpenter's shop, until he was 30 years old. Anybody here who's 30, just raise your hand if you don't mind showing me your age. 30 years old, Kelsey Summer. Paul, 30 years old. So that's like Paul staying home and working for his dad till he's 30 years old. Age 30, Jesus remained at home, trusting the Father's timing for his life and ministry. Age 30 was the prescribed age for priests to begin their ministry in the Old Testament. Joseph was 30 years old when he began serving the king of Egypt in Genesis. David was 30 years old when he began to reign over Judah. Do you see a pattern here? The Old Testament points to Jesus. Age 30 was a good time to begin an important assignment in Jewish culture. And right here in this passage is what Jesus is doing. This baptism was the first public statement of Jesus' ministry. Jesus could have gone to Jerusalem to spend time with the established religious teachers, the Pharisees, and announce his ministry. But instead, he went to a river, and he identified himself with those who were repenting of sin. God was breaking into human history through his son Jesus. So now I want to ask the question, why did Jesus ask to be baptized? Because we know he was human and he was divine and he was without sin. And Jesus said to fulfill all righteousness. He wanted to accomplish God's mission. Jesus' baptism was one step in fulfilling his earthly mission of identifying with our humanity and sin. He was giving us an example to follow. He was announcing the beginning of his public ministry. He was being baptized for the sins of the nation. Jesus, the perfect human, who didn't need baptism for repentance, was willing to be baptized anyway. God's work was moving forward, and God approved of this, as in verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Some of you have heard my story before. I share it again. I grew up in a Mennonite church in the Texas Panhandle. Yes, there are Mennonites in Texas. And it was just kind of a coming of age expectation in my church that when you turned age 12 or 13, you participated in a catechism class or a faith exploration class. And I did this, but I was kind of going along with my friends. They joined the class, I joined the class. I can't tell you that I remember a lot about that discussion or that I learned a lot, but I went ahead and I followed through and was baptized, was sprinkled in a worship service at my church. I can't say that that was a real genuine decision for me at that time. I really felt like it was more peer pressure that I was following. Later, when I turned age 25, I'd been married for a while. Craig and I were a part of a small church, Quaker church in Texas, was when I really wanted to be baptized because I had spent time searching for God, finding him, experiencing community with a small group of people, and I knew I was ready. So there was a Sunday afternoon, and we found a little pond on somebody's farm, and a lot of us from this tiny church had a baptism service, and I was immersed in the waters, and I felt like that was my true baptism at age 25. Isaiah 43:1-3 says, "Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. Do not be afraid, for I am with you." When we become a Christian and we make this decision to be baptized, we become part of a larger story. Can you remember your baptismal vows, those of you that have done this? Do you believe that Jesus loves you? Do you believe that Jesus forgives you of all your sin? Do you promise to follow Jesus and his teachings, loving and trusting him all the days of your life? Will you allow others to help you when you stumble? And will you help others when they stumble? When we commit to these vows, we become an active part of God's family. The New Testament refers to baptism as the result of mature commitments by a person who is aware of a personal acknowledgement of sin, the experience of grace and forgiveness, and a commitment to Jesus Christ and to the congregation. By ourselves, we cannot live a life of love. God works in us through the indwelling of his Spirit and through biblically based counsel with sisters and brothers in Christ. So I want to offer an invitation for anyone today that has not been baptized to come and talk to Matthew and I. We would love to spend time exploring what that looks like, understanding the big story of God's story, and walk with you through that exploration. When we claim something was done for us long ago, we are being made new. Following Jesus is finding our identity in Him. We remember who we are. We remember that we are children of God, and nothing we do can ever change that. Galatians 3:28, there is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ. We remember who we are. Jesus was baptized in a river, and I really like that symbol. He said to go and do the same. It doesn't make the river the best way to be baptized, but it adds some things. I like that a river has a sense of being alive more than still water. In John 7:38, Jesus speaks of our experience of the Spirit like this: whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Most rivers are cold, and I'm guessing it's going to be cold today. I think I'm probably the wimpiest one going into this than anybody. And Craig said, I think I'm going to take a rope. And I said, why? Who for? He said, for you. If you lose your footing, I'm going to throw a rope to you so I don't float away. But rivers being cold means there's some pain involved in baptism, even if it's just gasping from the coldness. This life of following Jesus has got plenty of ups and downs, of rough spots. It was Jesus, after all, who called us to take up our cross and follow Him. So with immersion, you go all in. I love this image of going all in with Jesus, holding back nothing, completely soaked in Him. And after you go in, you come out. Hopefully so. As Jesus went into the tomb and came out of it, dying and being resurrected, so baptism symbolizes death to an old way of life and rising to a new way of life. Baptism is an outward and visible sign of an inward and invisible commitment to Christ. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians 2:12, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And also 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 19, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are baptized into Christ just as we are wrapped with a towel afterwards and put on new clothes so that we are clothed with Christ. It's been a real blessing for Matthew and I to walk with Jared and Cameron and Harrison in the last few months through this exploration. And I'm excited today, those of you that are here and can be a part of this service, we want to invite everyone to join us at the river. Baptism is a powerful moment. It is the starting point and a new beginning for the Christian journey. Baptism washes away our sins, but it takes some time to learn how to live a forgiven life. Baptism is our initiation into God's family. This family is a place where we can help and correct each other when we stumble. The family of God is where we need to hear God's word, sing the songs that teach us about our faith, but most important, to carry Christ to one another. I need the Christ that is in you, and you need the Christ that is in me. When I lack, you supply. When you lack, I supply. The Christian life is not meant to be lived in isolation. Life will have its ups and downs, its twists and turns, its joys and sorrows. We know that. But it makes us part of a buddy system. We're one in Christ. We're members of His kingdom, devoted to one another. The people we choose to spend time with are the ones who teach us how to live. The people we choose to spend time with are the ones who teach us how to live. Choose wisely. People who are following Jesus and His teachings, loving and trusting Him all their lives. This, my friends, is what the family of God looks like. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, living water, rain down on us. Quench our dry hearts. Refresh our tired spirits. Soak us with your wet and winsome power. Holy Spirit, living water, purify us. Flood our lives with your presence. Remind us of our vows to you, our commitments to each other, to this spiritual family you have given us, even as we celebrate new beginnings this morning for Jared and Cameron and Harrison. Amen. I'm going to invite the three young men to come forward. And this is going to be out of sequence a little bit, but we're going to respond to them in this decision they've made. Would you turn to 777 in your hymnal? Please stand, and then we'll remain standing for the benediction. 777. Please join me. As we now receive you into the fellowship of the church, we make this covenant with you as we renew our own covenant with God, to bear each other's burdens, to assist in times of need, to share our gifts and possessions, to forgive as Christ has forgiven us, to support each other in joy and sorrow, and in all things to work for the common good, thus making known Christ's presence among us to the glory of God. As we unite with each other now, may we all be joined with Christ our Lord. You might remain standing for benediction.
Being blessed with the gift of faith, hope, and love by the Holy Spirit, now go forth in the joy of the Holy Spirit. May the joy of Christ be with you, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the love of God the Father. Amen.